Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, he's a tough guy to replace, you know. He's an elite player, so that speaks for itself. As far as what we're going to do more moving forward, we'll probably take it game to game and see how it goes.
Mike Sullivan on Evgeny Malkin's injury, calling it week to week following the Penguins' really hard to figure out loss to the Flyers last night. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Joining us at 4 o'clock on Mondays, it is the great Pierre Maguire. He's here again after taking in that game last night between the benches. And Pierre, we've only been talking for a few weeks, but I feel like we're buddies now. I can kind of lay my cards on the table, and I know you're going to be honest with me, you know?
Absolutely, Andrew. Good to talk to you. Is Chris here?
Oh, Chris is here. Oh, I'm here. My card's also going to be laid on the table.
All right. Get after it.
What kind of level of concern should we have about the Penguins after this weekend? Maybe not like small picture in terms of just like getting into the playoffs, but maybe bigger than that, Pierre, when it comes to, say, championship aspirations.
Well, I think you got to go one step at a time, having been through the process a bunch of times as a broadcaster and twice as a management person and coach. So if you try to put the cart before the horse and you think too far down the road, you're never going to get to your destination. So you really got to be smart about it. So it starts with this road trip, and I think this is a real good time for this team to get out of town. It's not because the fans aren't good. The fans are amazingly good, but they need some bonding time as a group. They really do. You know, it's not just Evgeny Malkin and Christopher Letang and obviously not having Brian Russ. They got him back last night, but it's a kid like Zach Aston-Reese. Now, that's an important player to your team. So they're trying to amalgamate all these new parts in. I thought Teddy Bluger did a real nice job last night replacing Malkin. He's not Evgeny Malkin, but I thought he did a great job. But this road trip's going to be critical for them, and that's what I think Mike Sullivan and the group are focusing in on. How are we going to deal with this road trip? And it starts on Tuesday night against Carolina.
Pierre, people in Pittsburgh, I think I'm representing this correctly, seem to feel like the most ideal first-round matchup for them would be the Islanders, that it's a 2-3 Metro matchup. Do you agree with that?
The only way it's a good matchup is if they start in Pittsburgh. I think if they start in New York, it's a real tough matchup. The last time they played a playoff series in that building, I did it. It was a 7-game series with the Washington Capitals. And the Capitals were life and death to get out of that series. They eventually got out in a Game 7 because it was just a hitting barrage. But the next round, the Capitals went down like a power window. They had nothing left. So if it started in Pittsburgh, I'd be much more excited about that kind of a matchup than if it starts in Uniondale.
Pierre Maguire joins us on Mondays at 4 o'clock here on 93.7 The Fan, the NHL on NBC analyst. Pierre, where did things go wrong for the Penguins this weekend?
Well, Saturday is a bit of a different one. Obviously, the shot totals were really friendly towards Pittsburgh, but that's an opportunistic St. Louis team that's still trying to find their way into the playoffs in the West. And Jordan Binnington obviously was pretty darn good in goal for St. Louis, and he's got a chance to be Rookie of the Year in the National Hockey League. So he worked some magic in that game. The game last night was pretty simple. Carter Hart was phenomenal, especially in the second period. That score should have been much more heavily slanted towards Pittsburgh than it was. And then Sidney Crosby made two mistakes at the tail end of the game, one on the tying goal by Van Riemsdyk. It wasn't just him. It was the whole line. They got caught standing flat foot in the neutral zone. And then Sid gambled in overtime on the Couturier play, and he lost. I mean, that happens from time to time, but I thought Crosby, until the last 2 minutes of that game, I thought Crosby was phenomenal for the Penguins. I really did, in terms of puck domination, making the players around them better. Face-off play, he was really, really good.
Pierre, because it's so unusual to see Crosby, it's so uncharacteristic, especially with the season he's having, to see him make some errors like that at such a crucial time, can you make heads or tails of why, what the motivation was behind either of those, especially the second? Because I don't know what he's going to do with the puck with 4 seconds left if, in fact, pinching up, he takes it from Couturier.
He made a misread. We all, I mean, if every show you guys did was an A+, you wouldn't be too worried about it. But again, if every player was perfect, we wouldn't need coaches. You know, so they're not perfect, and he made a mistake. You live with those. Listen, I had the privilege of trying to maintain the best player probably in the history of the sport, Mario Lemieux. And if he's not the best player, he's right in the top three. And there were nights where he wasn't an A+. Stuff happens. You know, not everybody's going to be perfect. And so Sid made a mistake on that goal. There's no question. He'd be the first person to tell you that.
I'm really interested to hear your answer on this. How do you coach that, Pierre? When you have a transcendent player, a transformative player, an all-time great player who makes a mistake like that, do you mention it? Or do you just burn the tape basically and say he's a great player, it'll never happen again?
No, you insulate the player, and the player knows and appreciates that. Your responsibility when you work with players like that, you maintain them just like you would a high-engine Ferrari. So you make sure that the proper water levels are in it. You make sure that the oil's clean. You make sure there's air in the tires. You make sure there's enough gas in the tank and it's the proper gas. You maintain the asset. That's what you do. There are times when you have to coach them up, whether it be in face-off situations, whether it be different power play schematic. But more times than not, you don't have to do too much with them because they're going to be harder on themselves than you can ever be on them. That's why they're so elite. And I've learned that whether it was working with Paul Coffey, working with Brian Trottier, working with Mario Lemieux, working with Ronnie Francis, working with Jaromir Jagr, working with Mark Recchi, those guys are harder on themselves than any coach can ever be on them.
Pierre, it'll be, I think, more relevant for as long as Malkin's out, Nick Bjugstad taking maybe a greater role. I thought he was really good for the most part yesterday. What was your impression of his performance?
He's a good player, and he's starting to find his way in Pittsburgh, which is really exciting. And I think that speaks to the staff in Pittsburgh. It speaks clearly to Mike Sullivan, what he's been able to do with Mark Recchi, Jacques Martin, Sergei Gonchar. That's a really good hockey staff. And one of the things that I've seen, Jared McCann has really gone to another level. I think that's part of the coaching that goes on in Pittsburgh. Clearly, we're seeing that now with Bjugstad. He wasn't like that. He had one season in Florida where he was all world. Outside of that, he has not been. So I think the coaching part of it, and I also think, with all due respect to the other great players in the league, when you come to Pittsburgh and you see how hard Sidney Crosby works, you look at yourself and say, oh, man, I've been working nearly hard enough. I see what this guy's doing. I've got to go harder. And so that's one of the benefits of having a guy like Sid around your group.
You recognize the voice. Pierre McGuire joins us Mondays at 4 o'clock here on 93.7 The Fan. The power play's been Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. From your perspective, what do you see in Pierre?
Spacing's not good right now. Passing is really haphazard. Phil's trying to do too much, and by doing too much, he's turning the puck over too much, and he's got to calm down. Phil's beating himself up every single time he comes off the ice. Power play's a scheme of confidence. It really is. And if you're beating yourself up every single time you come off the ice because you made a mistake or the power play didn't function, you're not going to have the confidence necessary to have a successful power play. But the spacing needs to be better. The passing lanes need to open up, and that's how you do it, by creating spacing. And you stop being so nice and become more of a shooting power play rather than a pretty playmaking power play.
Pierre, I don't know if Phil would be a Ferrari per se, but he's definitely a performance vehicle, and he's a pretty unique one in terms of, you say he's beating himself up. He's one of the more unique personalities. How, if he's just overthinking things or doing whatever, how do you coach that out of it when it's maybe somewhat in his head, the stuff that he knows he should be doing and isn't?
What a great question. This is where Mark Recchi is such an important asset to the organization. That's where you get Phil in a film room, and you do it calmly, and you do it constructively. And I won't give you the names of the players because that's breaking a confidence. But when I was coaching there were guys that needed to have help too. And you bring them in, and you break down the tape, and you go over it with them, and you basically let them see. And the one thing I know about the league today compared to when I was doing it, the league today, these guys are visual learners. They're not audio learners. So you need to have the picture paint 1,000 words. And if you show them the right pictures, they're going to learn pretty quickly.
Pierre, was that replay at its best or worst last night?
At its best. I don't know if you were watching or if you were in the building, Andrew, but I called it right away. I said, yeah, they may count the goal, but it's going to be offside. And I knew that right away. I called our truck right away. I said, if they score here, you better have it queued up for offside. I knew right away that that play was offside.
I was in an Airbnb without volume, and there were feral cats fighting outside. So that's where I was, Pierre.
Gotcha.
I still don't know if those cats were fighting based on what some of our listeners
they
have
were
said.
In heat.
There might have been something else going on out there that was a more amorous fight. But here's a quick one on that replay discussion, Pierre. Why can they not just why is the burden on the Penguins there to have to call the, hey, we got to challenge this for offside now? I would just say you cut down some time. Mike Sullivan said, we knew the play was offside. We knew it was going to be called offside. You still have to do it. Why don't you go through it, say, okay, there's no goaltender interference, so that's not going to cost the Flyers a timeout, but this is also offside, so we're just wiping it and getting back to play.
I'm going to tell you right now, they thought that play was onside. Mm. The linesman and the officials thought that play was onside. And from my angle, I could tell. I'm just above it. I'm not across from it. I'm above it, and I could see it. And the Penguins video coach could see the same thing I saw, just like the Flyers could see the same thing I saw if it was against them. I knew right away, and I could, and you could hear from the Penguins bench because they're in communication with their video room. They knew right away that that was offside.
Pierre, you've worn a lot of different hats, GM, scout. You've worked in the front office. You've been a coach. You're a fan. From your wealth of experience, when you hear week to week for a player like Malkin right before the playoffs, like, is there an oh no? Is there a he'll be fine? Like, without knowing all the details, just how does that kind of hit you right now with him?
When I hear week to week, I'm thinking 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. Usually if it's longer than that, they'll say a month. They'll say 4 to 6, usually in hockey. When I hear week to week, I'm usually thinking 2 to 3 weeks. And it depends on what the injury is. Obviously, we have tape, and we showed it last night from the game Saturday when Bortuzzo got Malkin with a cross check in the ribs. That may have been where he got hurt, because clearly that's when he left the ice, or it may have happened when he fell and something else got hurt. So you don't really know. But if it's a fractured rib, I mean, I don't know the answer to that. The doctors would know, because it would depend on where it is in conjunction with the lungs. Because they worry about that, the perforation of the lung with a fractured rib. So I don't know. But the one thing I'd say is, usually when I hear week to week, I think 2 to 3 weeks.
Does Pierre McGuire fill out a bracket?
In hockey, I do.
There was a Selection Sunday line, though. I was very impressed to hear
some cross-sport
promotion. I was sitting on I had the dog, the little dog at the house. The baby was sleeping. My wife was sleeping. We were watching the game, taking it in.
Hey, Pierre, one more before I let you run. Does Doc go into every Penguins?
Forever.
Yeah. Does Doc go into every Penguins game trying to work a Pirates reference in?
No. I'm a huge football guy, and I'm proud to say this. Kevin Colbert's a real good friend of mine, and so I love football. And when I get a chance to talk to Kevin, I'll talk to Kevin about football. Or when I get a chance to talk to some of my other friends that work in the NFL, I'll talk to them. So I'm a football guy. Not my baseball team left Montreal a long time ago, so I don't really talk about baseball anymore. But Doc loves the Pirates. Doc loves the Pirates as much as I probably love hockey.
Wow,
that is saying something. And I say, bring back Youppi. They're both a team belongs in Montreal.
You guys know Youppi still exists, right?
He's a Canadiens mascot.
Correct.
Now
Youppi was at the All-Star game in San Jose. I got an autograph. No, I'm just kidding. But Youppi was there.
I say he needs to go back to baseball, and they need a team in Montreal, and I will stand by that opinion until my dying day, unless there's a team in Montreal before that.
I have to share this with you guys. When I was a young boy growing up in Montreal, the Bank of Montreal, which still exists, by the way, a lot of the banks go away, but Bank of Montreal still exists. They used to have a thing called the Young Expos Club. So if you went and opened up a savings account, whether it was 25 cents or $25, it didn't matter. You got a card, and with that card, you could go to Jarry Park, and you could go to a game for a dollar. You could go to a game for a dollar and watch the Montreal Expos. And so I used to go when the Big Red Machine, I know that's not popular in Pittsburgh, but when they had, you know, Pete Rose and Johnny Bench and just those assaulting teams, they were just so good. And then I would go see the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'd go see the New York Mets. The first game I ever saw, I saw the St. Louis Cardinals, and Bob Gibson was pitching.
Wow.
So, I mean, I have unbelievable memories. I was the gigantic baseball fan of all time in Montreal when I was a kid. I used to go to almost every game in the spring when I could. And because of the Young Expos Club, it was a buck to go to a game. It was awesome.
See, now you've got my brain going, because now I'm thinking, was Mario in the Young Expo Club?
He might have been. See, but where I grew up on a different side of town than Mario, I had to take the 92 bus down Jean Talon to get to, that was a big boulevard in the northern part of the city. So if I could take, like, it was probably 10 stops on the 92 bus right to Jari Park, Mario would have had to really hump it to get there by bus. I don't know. It would have been harder for him.
Pierre, we'll talk again next Monday, and maybe Mario will be listening. We'll hope.
He might have been listening today. He was at the game last night. He was looking good with Pierre Olarouche, I'll tell you that.
All right, Pierre. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Great visiting with you guys. Thanks a lot, Andrew. Thanks a lot, Chris. Have a good one.
Thanks,
everybody.
Pierre.
See ya. Pierre McGuire.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.